Hit it, Pauly. Jesse Agler, it is your special day.
Your fun
it
day.
It is great to have you on. It is your fun day. Congratulations to you.
Does he have any idea yet?
Very happy. Do you know what we're talking about?
No idea whatsoever.
Today is National Jesse Day.
National Jesse Day.
Is it really?
Yes, it is. Dude, yes.
I think it's even spelled correctly.
Yeah, June 18th,
J-E-S-S-E.
This day was created to honor and appreciate those who bear this popular name. And
feels like we shouldn't have a day, I gotta tell you.
You feel like you shouldn't have a day. Why?
No, I don't think so. It's because everybody, every human is special, okay?
That's true.
You know, no matter what your name is, no matter where you're from, you know, we should all be trying to celebrate ourselves and our loved ones every single day. But thank you for recognizing it. I appreciate that.
Did you get, I want to ask you this question about your name, Jesse. Because there's a kid on my T-ball team who I adore. His name's Jesse. And there's a thing with Jessies. I haven't known a lot of Jessies in my time. Did you like your name when you were a kid?
I was always like kind of the only Jesse.
Yes.
So I didn't, it was a little bit, you know, either good or bad, depending on like the year or the day, how I felt about that. But the weird one to me was just always like, not weird, but like the annoying one when I was little was, you know, teachers were always spelling it wrong you know, like it was always like everybody was throwing the I in there. And you know, like now as an adult, I don't care when people do that. But like as like a third grader, that used to bother me a little bit. Like, that's not how you spell my name, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But no, I never really, you know, thought too much of it one way or the other. I like it. It's mine. And this is the weirdest question I've ever had to answer.
That's fine. It also has its own day.
Can't we talk about 8 straight road losses?
Yeah, finally.
Finally.
That's what everyone wants to hear about. 8 straight road losses. You know, from the team that continually makes perfect sense, Jesse, the one that was one of the best road teams in baseball and now can't win a road game. It kind of goes back even to the last season as well. Not a lot adds up necessarily for the San Diego Padres. They lead the National League the baseball in batting average, but the offense seems to struggle a lot. They give up very few walks and strike out tons of batters, but the pitchers give up a lot of home runs. It's a very difficult team to analyze, Jesse, and you have to kind of watch it every single day.
How much of a challenge, Ben, was it for you right there in that setup to not use the words run differential?
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, the run differential is pretty much where it should be at this point. They're a little positive for under 500. It's not like last year, which was ridiculously off for where it should have been. That's when run differential becomes important to me. Like, it's all right, it's not telling the right story. This year's team is telling the right story. We just don't know why they're not necessarily, you know, performing at a better level.
I think, well, first of all, with the road stuff, they got off to the, 19-10 in their first 29 on the road. And, you know, I think a lot of people were shooting off fireworks around town because, wow, that's the sign of a great team.
Yeah.
I don't know that that was ever sustainable. So you're probably seeing a little bit of a correction there. But I guess, look, for me right now, when I look at where they are and the way things are going, this is a very, very tough stretch for a lot of reasons. You know, for one, obviously, and this is where it starts, is the 26 games in 27 days. Then you throw on top of that, you're missing two of your top starting pitchers. And you throw on top of that, you got guys dinged up pretty good right now. You know, Machado and Arise, even Jerkson with the knee the other day. And it's just sort of this kind of like perfect storm, you know, to make this a little bit of a difficult run right here. And it's a run schedule-wise that really continues through the next homestand. Remember, they're going to come home Thursday after, you know, this East Coast trip. They're going to have a game Thursday night at home against the Brewers. That's a 4-game series. Then the Nats come in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then finally, you know, the schedule, just from like a calendar standpoint, eases up a little bit. And the month of July should be a lot more friendly to them from that standpoint, you know, than the month of June was. But look, I'm not saying you can't have a successful run when you're playing 26 games in 27 days. But if you're dinged up the way they are, it becomes that much more difficult. And that's just kind of my like sort of sense of the state of things at this moment. But as we know, it changes 1,000 times over the course of the year. The story of April is not necessarily the story of May and so on. And, you know, we'll see what the next month brings. Not that I'm punting on the rest of June by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think it's been a particularly challenging few weeks here.
Yeah, no question. Talking to our pal Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning, and you're with Mike Schilt a lot. You know, you're down in the scrums and listening to him, and we of course talk to him on Fridays, and you know, you see the pressers after the game. He's relentlessly positive, is how I put it, and I kind of understand why. I do. I watched last night though, and it. You know, what is kind of your take on being positive all the time as the manager of a big league club?
This is not specific to Mike. Okay, so what I'm saying are kind of my general thoughts on this topic. The manager of the team is not trying to manage public opinion. He is not trying to manage the fan base. He is not trying to manage the media. He is trying to manage the guys in the clubhouse. That is his primary responsibility. And I'm not saying he doesn't have an obligation of some kind to the fans of the media. That is part of the gig. They all understand that. But at the end of the day, especially on a team that has had kind of the issues that this team has had the last couple of years, he's trying to keep every one of those guys in the clubhouse on board. And here's the thing to remember. Just because somebody says something on the record publicly, those are not the extent of this guy's thoughts, feelings, and words. Those are just the ones he's giving out. And again, Mike or anybody else, these are just the things he's saying publicly. They are not the only things he's saying. And what goes on behind closed doors, and again, I'm talking generally here, not about, you know, the 2024 Padres, can be very, very different than what is said publicly. And I think that's something everybody needs to be aware of. This idea that like a public figure, a politician, a manager, whatever they say in front of a microphone is all that they're saying. It's all that they're thinking. That is wildly naive. And I think that's something to be kept in mind when you're playing the audio back every morning of what Mike Schilt said after the game, or if somebody's listening to the postgame show with Sam Levitt here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan, and they're hearing Mike Schilt, and they're going, what is he talking about? That's not what I'm seeing. Believe me, for Mike and every other manager. Now, look, different guys have different personalities, different approaches. But for this team this year, I think it's pretty clear, right? Mike Schilt has made a calculated choice that he is not going to be throwing guys under the bus publicly. He doesn't think that does him any good. His job, again, his responsibility is to get these guys in the clubhouse to perform at their greatest level. And again, I haven't talked to him about this. To me, this is just sort of like optics 101, kind of looking at how all of it's gone, taking into account what we've seen and heard the last couple of years. It would appear to me he has made a decision that, you know, that's not the way he's going to handle it publicly. But again, you have to remember, just because he's doing one thing publicly doesn't mean he isn't permitted to do something else, you know, behind closed doors.
Jesse, let's talk about the opponent for a second. And I get the Phillies aren't infallible. They, you know, they ran into the Diamondbacks in the playoffs last year, the World Series the year before, and they had just lost 5 of 7. Yet, you watch them on the field, and I don't know about you, do they look like the most complete team that you've seen so far this year, now getting a second look at them?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that in April, and I think that, again, now. I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt that, you know, they're 4-0 against the Padres and that they've mashed, you know, in every single one of those games. But, yeah, you know, that was my takeaway at the end of April when we saw them in San Diego. That was my takeaway walking away last night, is that, you know, they do look, I think complete is the right word. They look like the most, you know, top-to-bottom team, certainly that we've seen this year. You know, I don't know if I can speak to the American League teams quite as much. You know, I would have wanted a little bit longer of a look at the Yankees to kind of get a sense of them, you know, particularly from the pitching side. But yeah, no, I think the Phillies are the class of the National League. And does that mean anything in October? I don't know. You know, I mean, like you said, they had a 2-0 lead against the Diamondbacks in the NLCS last year and weren't able to close it out with a lot of these same guys playing really, really well. 2 years ago, of course, they beat the Padres to win the pennant and then lost in the World Series. So, you know, the way this whole system is set up now, it does not necessarily reward greatness, but they sure look great. They really do.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, they're a team you just don't. They don't feel like they're ever out of it. And I had that feeling about this team, Jesse. And you know, Skip said last night, you know, it was the only game that got away. And, you know, pretty much he said, there's like 4 games that the Padres have been bodied and we're kind of out of it, which is, I mean, that's fine at the end of the day. They have this. Now, let's be fair. You would have squared up some of those pitches last night from Randy Vasquez. I mean, those were 92 center cut. I take my chances with Jesse Agler in the box last night. Just not super competitive from Vasquez last night. And I understand he's still learning and everything, but you can't do that against a lineup that is that deep, top to bottom, that just punishes mistakes.
I mean, what was the line Schilt used last night? It was great. If growing pains are painful. You know, they're called growing pains for a reason. And, you know, this is a guy, his first trip really around, you know, not as a full-time starter, I know, but, you know, he's getting to sort of live the life of a full-time starter for right now in the rotation. And, yeah, man, that's part of the deal. Very few guys get it right their first time through. Not to say there aren't going to be really good ones. We've seen him have some really good ones. But there are going to be difficult times. There are going to be difficult games. Certain matchups are going to present, you know, really particular difficulties, and that was the case last night. You know, anytime guys are learning on the fly at the major league level and kind of going through it for the first time, generally stuff like this is going to happen, and that's what makes what Jackson Merrill has done this year so incredibly impressive to me, is that there's just, it seems to me there's not been a single at-bat all year long where the guy seemed overmatched by the moment, and that is so rare and something we should not take for granted. You know, we saw with Fernando as a rookie. Not only did he not look overmatched, he looked like he was overmatching the opposition, you know, on a near-nightly basis his first time through. Those guys are freaks, man. That's not the way it usually happens. That's not the way it's supposed to go. And we should always kind of, I think, take a step back and appreciate when something like that is happening.
No doubt.
So, Jesse, I feel like I may owe you an apology. I may have gotten too aggressive
last week on the incorporator.
So I'm sorry if I got in your head or anything.
He ruined it.
I'm going to try to make it up for you this week. Are you still game for the incorporator?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. I actually feel terrible about last week.
Don't feel terrible. I feel terrible.
Ben should feel terrible.
No.
And so what I want to do is I want to go back to our roots. And our very first incorporator word was a food word.
Yeah, mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah.
So we're going back to our roots with a food word.
Mustard.
For tonight's, no, it's not exactly a condiment.
Relish.
It's a little tough.
Relish.
It's a little tougher than that. Paulie, if you would please.
Cracker Jack.
Congee.
What is that?
Congee. It's a form of savory rice porridge that you get by boiling rice in a large amount of water until the rice softens. Ooh. It's often served Asia, you know, like China is the breakfast food.
It's
with
a bowl
condiments.
Of rice.
It's a bowl of very wet, mushy rice. Congee.
So good. Congee.
I like that.
All right. Wet.
I like how that was not presented when we were in Seoul, Korea a couple of months ago. We saved it for Philadelphia. Yeah,
too
good.
Easy.
Going down to Pat and Gino's to get a nice congee in Philadelphia.
How is Philly, by the way?
With some congee on it. It's very hot.
Is it?
Very, very hot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like 90-something.
Staying in your room?
But I'm about to work out. We'll get that in.
All right, show off. I did yoga this morning for 7 minutes, by the way.
Did
7 minute
good for
yoga.
You.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's called Lazy Yoga, and it's like an app. And so I did it the last
Feels
2 days.
Feels like a contradiction.
It does, doesn't it? It sucks. And you watch the lady do it on the thing, and then you look at yourself in the mirror doing it. It's not even close. It's not even close.
Got all those
poses.
There's downward dog.
Yeah, mountain. I do all
that. I like beached whale.
Yeah.
That's my pose.
Me and you both. I like cheesesteak. That's my favorite yoga pose. Enjoy your workout, buddy. Thank you. Sorry about Ben. And let's get that dub tonight.
Real quick, while we got Jesse. Oh. Do you remember, Jesse, that first incorporator is mayonnaise? Do you remember how it went? How it was executed?
With Uncle Teddy.
So you got your crab meat, your lump crab meat, your mayonnaise, your breadcrumbs, your spices and herbs, all that goes into it. But sometimes too many breadcrumbs, too much filler, not as good.
Thank you, Bobby Flay.
Yes. Well, you know, a little bit of a foodie, a little bit of a food snob.
I'm a little bit of an eater.
A little bit of an eater. Lays me out.
Oh, God bless Teddy, man. That's the best.
Amazing. Those two during the incorporator was pretty epic. Yeah. We had some epic times.
I pulled my diphthong in college.
Yeah, I pulled my diphthong in college.
Safe trip back to San Diego this week,
Thank
Jesse.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, guys.
Later.
Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres, the incorporator.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.